I'll be presenting data from an investigation of providers of HIV care to injection drug users. It is nested within the ALIVE cohort, which is a study of injection drug users, but the data I'll be showing is strictly data collected from healthcare providers. I have no disclosures. So this study of providers is nested in the ALIVE study, which is a longitudinal cohort of injection drug users in Baltimore. ALIVE stands for AIDS linked to the intravenous experience. And since the late 1980s has followed a cohort of inner city Baltimore dwelling injection drug users. The first era of the study, meaning in the pre-HART era, the goals of this study was really to establish pathogenesis, and stored specimens from these participants were used for basic science research. Since the advent of highly active retroviral therapy, a big focus of this study has been understanding why these medications don't seem to work as well for drug users, or put alternatively, why drug users don't use them as well as other risk groups. So without spending a lot of time on the publications that have led to some of these statements, I just want to state the thesis that a lot of our current work in ALIVE is based upon. Observations from this group of injection drug users has shown that compared to people who do not use drugs, injection drug users start antiretroviral therapy at a more advanced stage of disease. When initiated, they do not adhere to the regimens as well, meaning they don't take their medicines, and as a result, do not have similar immunologic and virologic benefit. They also discontinue and switch regimens more frequently than other risk groups. So the conceptual model that we use to study the phenomenon of antiretroviral therapy effectiveness in people who use drugs is on this slide. The things that need to happen in order for a HIV-infected person to receive benefit and to avoid AIDS-related complications and death are here. First, HIV infection has to be recognized. Testing has to be done and results have to be received. After this, they have to be linked to a regular source of care. They have to be linked to a source of care that is competent in HIV, acknowledges when it is appropriate to initiate care, and can follow them longitudinally. Patients need to continue to be retained in care and to take their medications in order to have an effective response and avoid favorable and avoid complications. Most of the research from ALIVE and other similar studies to date has shown that there are factors that you can measure on individuals related to their level of drug use, their demographics, their income, their social status, that predicts their likelihood of taking antiretroviral therapy and benefiting from antiretroviral therapy. The next steps, which is the sort of the launching point for the provider study I'm going to talk about today, is to really look at the contextual factors. We're interested in neighborhood level factors that predict people who receive optimal HIV care, legal and correctional system factors, and what I'll talk about today are provider factors. So the way we undertook our investigation of provider studies is to administer a questionnaire that assessed provider characteristics, provider site characteristics, meaning the location where these providers practice care, and then a range of knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs that might be associated with what we hypothesized, that some providers are less likely to provide antiretroviral therapy to drug users, either because of stigma, prejudice, or beliefs that may not be accurate. Our sampling strategy was really to prioritize providers in the Baltimore area. The participants are strictly in inner city Baltimore, but they're throughout the city. So an additional goal for this investigation was to sort of get a comprehensive look of all the practice sites and providers in the area so we could map out where there are geographic areas where providers are less likely to be able to be accessed. To increase the number of respondents, we also recruited people regionally and nationally by using a database of people who prescribe antiretroviral therapy throughout the region of Maryland and Washington, D.C., and then at several national meetings, including the Infectious Disease Society of America meeting in Philadelphia and several other continuing medical education providers that HIV providers attend. We were not aware of or did not use a validated instrument that assesses prejudice against antiretro drug, anti, or injection drug users the stigma that is attached in these communities. So what we did was convened a group of collaborators and discussed what sort of things could we invent to assess how whether people's attitudes toward drug users could be important in predicting their likelihood of prescribing. And these are the questions that we asked the participants to state whether they agreed or disagreed. The first was something somewhat audacious, but wanted to get at really a negative attitude. And it's stated HIV infected IDUs have themselves to blame for their illness. Essentially, getting at they get what they deserve. Really, a negative belief toward people of that risk group. On the other side, we asked them to state whether they believe there's a professional obligation to treat injection drug users. We thought most people would agree with this, but to the extent that some people disagree, we thought that could be a marker of people who held some stigmatizing beliefs. We asked them whether they felt comfortable talking to their patients about injection drug use, the question of the effectiveness of, or the influence that providers can have on their patients' drug use practices, and whether they felt that categorically people who have injection drug use as a risk behavior are less equipped or less able to adhere to antiretroviral therapy. We invited a little over 12 or more, or 1,300 people in the region by name and to complete the survey. And for these people, we knew their practice address. For the somewhat less scientific sampling, we don't really know what the denominator would be. We had a table set up at the scientific meetings. When people would come up and self-identify as a provider of HIV care, we would ask them to participate. So the sample size is really calculated sort of in at these different levels. Of the people in Baltimore whom we targeted directly, 37% or 146 people responded. The remainder of the state and the DC and the DC suburbs, we had an 8.5 response. And overall, there were 916 survey respondents. Because of the recruitment that occurred at the scientific meetings and through emailing to providers, we did get quite a few international respondents. We limited this analysis just to people in North America. This is the sample description. Most were physicians, but 20 to 25% were non-physician providers. The criteria was that you provide regular care to HIV-infected individuals or are involved directly in prescription decisions. So some pharmacists who make management decisions were also included. Most were specialists in infectious diseases, although there were, and the remainder were primary care residents, primary care specialties. 45% listed their practice type as academic, with the remainder being private practice and public health clinics. Most said that they predominantly provided HIV care, although there was quite a range to this, and the majority were practiced in urban locations. The distribution was skewed toward younger respondents. My theory on why this was is because the fellows and recent graduates were probably more susceptible to a $10 inducement, which is what we used, but there were a few people who had practiced for many years. And this is really the main finding. The way that the survey worked was we presented a hypothetical patient. The first scenario was a patient who has a CD4 count of about 500 who has no history of drug use. And that's all we said. So everything else being equal, are you likely or unlikely to prescribe or to initiate antiretroviral therapy? In the setting of no drug use, we sort of use that as the control. And this graph shows at the various levels of drug use how the proportion that said they would be likely to prescribe therapy. So at a CD4 count of 200, meaning advanced HIV, where most providers agree antiretroviral therapy is indicated, essentially everyone stated they were likely to initiate therapy. That stepped down a little bit when we said that we changed the condition that the CD4 count was higher at 350, and the CD4 count of 500, it stepped down considerably to about 40%. The red and the green bars are the results to the same set of scenarios, except changing the condition that would you prescribe to a patient if they happen to use injection drugs The green line shows if they use injection drugs daily, and red if occasionally. And so this graph shows nicely that the likelihood that someone would decide to initiate care varies by both drug use intensity and by disease stage. I'm going to gloss over this parenthetically. One thing that came up was that the guidelines, the professional guidelines about when providers ought to start, changed halfway through the time that we're administering the survey. And this shows, although I'm not going to have time to show in detail, that actually the people who responded after the change in guidelines were more likely to initiate care, which is what you would hope to see. This slide lists the factors that were associated with a decision to defer therapy to someone for whom it is clearly indicated. So a CD4 count of 200 in the setting of injection drug use. So higher odds ratio, so people who are more likely to say, no, I'm not going to prescribe therapy despite advanced disease. And the factors that were associated were whether you were a physician compared to a non-physician. So physicians were more likely to withhold therapy in the setting of drug use compared to non-physician. Other things that were interesting and not necessarily expected, providers who the bulk of their workload was seeing patients was greater than 75% were more likely to defer therapy. People who said that their practice type could be classified as a specialty clinic rather than a primary care clinic were more likely to defer therapy. And a few other practice site characteristics was whether the practice had social work on site and whether HIV testing was available on site. Of the statements that assessed knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs, these two were the only ones that had a significant association with the decision to withhold therapy to people with injection drug use. The top ones, people who disagreed with the statement that there is a professional obligation, there weren't many of them, so I felt good about that fact, but it was a very highly predictive of preferring to defer therapy if they did not believe that there was a professional obligation. And the second deals with the extent to which they believe that adherence or predicted adherence is very important. And people who strongly agreed that you should only prescribe someone if you believe they'll be adherent was also predictive. So this is the final multivariable model. The physician compared to non-physician providers remained an important correlate of deferring therapy. You were less likely to defer therapy if you had more clinical experience. If you saw many patients, compared to people who did research or other academic activities, were more likely to defer therapy. Both of the attitudes and beliefs questions remain important when adjusted for the other characteristics. So in the few minutes, I'll just briefly say that I did two additional models in the different scenarios. This one, the condition of drug use was changed to someone who uses drug use only occasionally. And it was the majority of the associations remained similar. The specialty clinic characteristic, the 75% clinical workload were no longer. And an additional belief that even former drug users cannot adhere was also important. And then finally, we changed the other condition, which is at a less advanced stage of disease for daily drug users, and the factors remain similar, except in this situation, physician providers and non-physician providers were not dissimilar. So in summary, variation exists in willingness to prescribe antiretroviral therapy that correlates with injection drug use pattern and disease state. Provider attitudes and beliefs are important predictors of deferring antiretroviral therapy among patients who inject drugs. Providers who feel a sense of professional obligation are more likely to prescribe antiretroviral therapy in the setting of ongoing drug use. And physicians are less likely than non-physicians to prescribe antiretroviral therapy to an active drug user. This is our collaborators on the left and the funding support on the right, and thank you for your attention.